My name is Michael Guyad, publisher of the Lead Lag Report. Join me if there is Jay Correa. Now, folks, this is going to be a very different kind of conversation. Actually, I'm very much looking to the conversation with Jay. Jay's been phenomenal at the speed with which he uses AI to make images related to funny posts that I put out. I said, he and I spoke a couple of days ago. Turns out he's doing some really interesting things with Market Draft and has a really unique background. So we're going to touch on a lot of different topics. But Jay, interested to the audience and to me again, I guess I should say, who are you? What have you done throughout your career? What are you doing currently?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me, Michael. Really appreciate it. Generally speaking here, and just giving everybody a little bit of brief background, I'm the CTO of Market Draft. Talk more about Market Draft in a little bit. In terms of experience and everything, you know, entrepreneur. Humble roots. I grew up in New Bedford, Massachusetts. For those of you that don't know, it's the fishing capital of the U.S. Moved to Florida as a teen, Chicago area as a young adult for a number of years, and kind of came back home to Mass after about 10 years there. So I've been back home for about 5 years now, but always entrepreneurial minded. Started a web and app development company at the age of 23. And in the course of 1 year, moved across the country, had a kid, bought a house, and started a business, right? The great American dream. But to a humble roots, started the business, and yeah, I haven't really looked back. That was back in 2006, and it really taken on a career of web and app development work that's built up over the years. Yeah, we've done projects for MIT, the National Park Service, some big political campaigns, Grammy Award winners, and so on. A bunch of different industries, a bunch of different opportunities over the years, which is great. And that ended up transitioning in my career into fantasy sports. Fantasy found us. You know, I'm not sure how many listeners here play fantasy football, but generally speaking, a lot of people are familiar with it. But it found us as a company. And really, I haven't looked back since. Done a lot with shaping my career, DreamCo, which was the web and app dev company. And now my role with Market Draft. And outside of that, you know, on the personal end, you know, dad and pilot, author, floating around and stuff, just your typical New England sports fan, I guess.
I did not realize you're a pilot. That's definitely not typical.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's an old tail dragger Cessna, fly around. It's great if you want to escape and get over to the Caper Islands and skip the traffic, right?
All right, so you mentioned you've been on the web and app development side for a while, but obviously if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's more than just the product and how great your UI and UX is. A large part of this is about marketing and getting people to be aware of what you've built. Talk through how in your prior venture, you got people to be interested in and familiar with your work, your coding, you know, what you
Yeah. So with DreamCo, going back to 2006, you know, websites primarily then more so than apps, SEO, right? We were in the earlier days, 2006, you're thinking about mass adoption of high-speed internet, really just ramping up. You know, and so our ability to make sure that we were putting content on the web that Google was able to find and find and make sure that we're ranking well with different niche specific terms, and getting into those niche specific angles and those different verticals is really what it was all about. So earlier I touched on like some of the different industries, like, you know, working with musicians, working with some of these TV personalities or political campaigns. We published an awful lot of content, did a lot of writing, put together niche specific pages on our website that we went all in on visually, different design ideas, design examples, best practices, and content that was really just catering towards whatever that vertical was. And that was really what a big differentiator was that we had going in. And, you know, Google really likes relevance and reliability. The longer something's been around and more links that point to it, the better. So that worked out well for DreamCo with getting the company a really good footprint. And that's outside of, you know, more traditional advertising methods too, right? Google ads and social ads and at a later date too. But we really did well on the organic end and attribute most of the success to that.
Yeah, I think anybody that's not sure and try to put products or services out there, they recognize content marketing is king. But let's talk about how that applies to today, because, you know, content is cheap. I mean, it can be created via AI. There's saturation. So I've got to assume that it's harder to get that organic attention compared to how you
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with AI. And, you know, before even the fun images here, just looking at how articles can already be written, you know, you have a pretty good BS detector. You can usually figure out what is AI generated and what's not by looking at things that may have come across promptish or not. But there hasn't been this pushback against AI-generated content as far as Google's concerned, but it is much more difficult to get a footing just by having good content only. User experience, how people are reacting to what they're seeing, how long are they staying on you versus a competitor, what are they looking at? There's certainly quite a bit that goes into that. It's more difficult now than it's ever been. You know, Google has had numerous resets over the years, though, right? They've had Panda and Penguin and these different, you know, search engine shakeups that they've done before. And I would not be surprised if you see something similar to that in the next year or two in terms of how they're dealing with AI-generated content versus something that might be human-written. It's a balancing act for sure.
I do think it also gets to be interesting if we enter sort of a more active type of, you know, world, right, where instead of searching among all these different websites, you know, instead of going to Google, they just get, you know, people just get an answer from an AI, in which case you can't necessarily have a sponsored link at the top. So even that side of things from a marketing perspective seems like it's going to be evolving potentially in a really challenging way. Right?
Absolutely. And that's already happened to a degree. If you look at Google over the last few years with some of their autocompletes and the answers that they already queue up, the additional data where just do it through us. Google can provide everything. There has become less, things are not as decentralized on the internet. There's just been more centralization, you know, and you have a whole conversation about that, if it's good or not. But that is certainly the case. But, you know, it's tried and true. If you put together something that people really like and there's a need for it, you know, getting the message out there can always be a challenge. There's different ways to do that. But hopefully supply and demand will still continue to be what drives the market.
So let's get into your current venture with Market Draft. Now, full disclosure to everybody here, I'm not getting paid to do this. This is not like a sponsored space. I just think it's interesting. And because I myself have some experience in the app development world, I think I can certainly relate to and respect how challenging it is. But Market Draft is a unique app. I want you to talk through what it is you guys are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, so what is Market Draft, right? Market Draft is a fantasy investment platform. Users pick stocks and cryptos to build short-term fantasy portfolios and compete for cash and prizes. We have simulation tools as well, you know, aka paper trading, just done really nicely, where you could go in and create a portfolio just to see how you do. Or if you wanted to maybe have a handful of them compete with one another, like, oh, if I just did all Mag 7, or if I went all in on these, you know, small cap companies, what would happen? What would it be like? So you can set up little sandbox environments for yourself to just try out picking, see what your stock picking skills are like, or if you're, you know, itchy to just try out your day trading skills, then why not? And unlike the real market, where you're always risking something, with Market Draft, there's no risk. It's literal risk-free contests with actual real cash and crypto prizes. So we've given away thousands and thousands of dollars. We give away money every day. We give away crypto. Usually once a month has been the cycle. We did HBAR recently, XRP before that. But it's really fantasy sports for the stock market. You know, and the goal behind the brand is to really help educate people about the market through gaming and creative content. You know, 44% of the middle class U.S. does not invest in the stock market at all. For the 56% that do, almost all of that is through mutual funds or retirement plans. And only 12% of middle class households have individual stocks. So there's so much more people can do with their own money, learning, investing. You know, anybody can enjoy Market Draft. Like, we have thousands of members, we're growing, and it's been great. The majority of our members, though, are younger Gen Z millennial retail traders that just got their first exposure to stock market crypto with a lot of the Robinhood, meme, Citadel stuff that went down a couple of years back. That is, to a degree, kind of that core customer. You know, these are a lot of times individuals that don't have the time or desire or don't see it as being entertaining enough to really pay attention to the drab content that's out there. And though the amount of content in fintech is, you know, overwhelming, and there's no shortage, you were talking about this just recently, there's no shortage of personalities and places you can go. You know, our approach is a bit different. We're trying to talk to and resonate with that consumer that just wants to kind of have a no frills, no BS, a little bit of fun, but still educational, and just give people an opportunity to experience trading, learn more about trading, and go from there. So that's kind of the void that we're looking to fill.
Are the contests just straight up, you know, whoever has performed the best, you know, wins? Or, you know, are there other dynamics? For example, you know, maybe, I don't know if you've done this, but I would think it would be interesting, you know, the one who has the most consistent risk-adjusted returns, as an example, right? To try to get people out of just the YOLO.
Yeah, style. That is a great point. And I'm glad you mentioned that too, because that's exactly what we found. So the contests that we have, they change. We have our S&P 500 plus, we call it, contest that we always run, which is basically like 2,000 some odd stocks, the full S&P plus a bunch of the other more popular ones. And they'll run daily, weekly, a little bit longer. So you have the whole, you know, almost the whole market there to kind of pick from and just see how you do. And it's short-term trading, right? So you pick your stocks before the open, then all the prices get audited. So everyone starts out at the open price if they had picked before then. And it runs through the market close on whatever the day is that's set, whether it's a day, week, month, or even longer. There are also contests that are very sector-driven, like industrials only, or these companies that are reporting earnings, or these meme companies, you think, you know, you memes or whatever, like, go ahead, here are the 20 meme tickers that you could pick between to build a portfolio, see the best meme trader is. So we do the same thing for both stocks and crypto that way. But what we noticed is when you got nothing to lose, like you do on Market Draft, which you can win free cash, people go all in on the most volatile stocks that may crash and burn, but also may have that, you know, 20% spike or whatever in one day, no problem, and results in a lot of winning. So we've added this year a couple of data points too, so people can see their all-time up downs and what their risk scores are. We've also added leaderboard components so that even if you're not winning in those individual contests, we can show that you're actually winning and doing much better and making better choices over time. And are rewarding people on our leaderboards as well. So like monthly and annual leaderboards to keep track of those types of things.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hello, listeners. Michael Guyatt here from Lead Lag Live. Are you ready to take a deep dive into market trends, risk management, and investment strategies? Then you need the Lead Lag Report. Our in-depth analysis helps you understand the financial markets like never before. And guess what? We're giving you a chance to experience it at a discounted rate. Visit theleadlag.report/leadlaglive and get an exclusive 30% off on your subscription. Don't miss out. Level up your investment game with the Lead Lag Report. And now, back to our discussion. Yeah, which I give you credit for, because that's I think always been the issue with these, you know, stock trading competitions, and right. I mean, it's just try to get lucky, right? They're not viewing it from necessarily an educational perspective, but it's just, you know, if you want to win, you've got to take an outsized bet, and it might work for the contest, but it's also a way to go broke.
Right. And the more the duration is, that also leans out too. So we have a risk score that we put together some logic on, and the greater the length of the contest is, you start to see that spread out a little bit more. But it is actually very interesting too, seeing some of the data that we've gotten back from our members thus far and just how they're applying this. And are they taking these picks and doing it in the real world, and how well some of them could be doing, and watching users start to pay attention to what other users are doing too, where they're learning from one another, kind of an open community format this way with seeing who's picking what. That's been interesting too, but we're still young. I mean, we're a 2-year-old company that we bootstrapped entirely. We're definitely looking to make some noise going into next year with raising capital, definitely getting a bit more attention and everything as well. To keep the momentum going, we know what's out there competition-wise, and this is something that's not really out there. Paper trading's been around forever, but not in this format, and really not targeting people in a way that they can be entertained, educated, and still, you know, have a side hustle, for lack of a better phrase, while doing it.
Talk about the challenges of developing an app from the standpoint of making sure you have the right look and feel, right? UI is... And UX is obviously everything when it comes to this. And I've always, you know, even when I look back at my own experience with How You Dish, which is a foodie app I developed with an outside company, the number of iterations that we went through was, you know, mind-blowing, on top of the fact that it took me a while to realize that you are not your user. So, right? So I thought that this looks great. This is something I would use all the time. But, you know, people that would be using the app wouldn't think the same way. That's got to be really challenging, because every single round of coding calls.
Yeah, no doubt. So I built a career around this on the consulting end, right? I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with personally hundreds of businesses as a company, more than different businesses from all walks of life, needing websites and or apps. And so there's really some bigger takeaways. Like first thing, like you, don't go reinvent the wheel. People have an expectation for how things are going to work. Like specifically, like don't have a red button that says go or continue. People are rather see green because green means go. Learn from the biggest players. You know, if you're trying to capture market share, then do what people are already used to so that it's naturally intuitive to them. They don't have to go out and learn something entirely new, entirely fresh and different. I'm not saying to not think outside the box, just understand that it could be very costly too. So looking at these big businesses that have spent billions of dollars, right, with product innovation and getting it to where it is today, people are familiar with the way certain things work. So why break that habit and have that type of an uphill battle? That's the first thing. You know, second is, you know, content articulation. People don't really read much. I like to read. I mean, yeah, that's just me. And I'm, you know, some people do, of course, but like generally speaking, consumers and the attention spans that are out there, forget it. So sometimes you got to be headline-ish, as you know, with catching somebody's attention with articles. But same thing with content on what you're trying to tell somebody to do. It has to be intuitive. And if you really can't say it in like less than a sentence or a few words, you're going to have a bit of a struggle with maybe training someone to do the next step you want them to take within an app. One-hand experience is another thing. Can you kind of tap and blow through this without having to really be dialed in? The easier it is to be lazy for people, the better. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for society in general, but that's where we've come. So, you know, learn from what's out there, make things as easy as possible on people, fast, efficient, that way they like what's there, and then maybe they give you a chance.
I'm also blown away when you look at some of the stats around people's attention spans in terms of the apps that they open and use. So I think I saw some stats, something like 90-95% of a person's day spent on just, you know, five apps, right? I think it's Instagram, I think Tinder, I think it's on there. There's like Snapchat, right? Some of the main ones that you hear about, which means all these apps that you see are really kind of vying for a very small percentage of the daily usage.
Right. So what you're really doing, and like the way the battle has become, is you're mining for people's time, right? And look, at the end of the day, everybody, this time's valuable. Like everyone that's in the space is now, you know, people are going to want to be there for a particular reason. So if you're going to be able to create value for them, and there's different ways to do that, right? Some companies have done very well with the dopamine hits. The tech giants have done great with that. And I would argue that even watching the DALL-E or any of these AI gen images, within a few seconds spinning something out that's pretty magical looking, is somewhat that same hit for people. So literally playing to psychology and rewarding people and giving them that rush of excitement, that hit, and being able to do that consistently makes that feel good. And that gives them a compelling reason to go back to get it again. So you either have to have something that's really compelling that they need, or it's something that they want, right? If it's one or the other, you're really competing over attention though. So trying to get somebody to come back to your app, come back to the website regularly, you have to have value there. It can't just be a repeat of content that somebody else has. That material is already everywhere else. What are you doing to improve that person's life? Do they feel better about being there? Maybe they'll give you 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes of their daily time if they like that experience. On the market draft end, we're actually really happy about that with what we've seen so far in terms of our members. You know, like we've had a challenge of literal free money in crypto. That sounds too good to be true. And it does sound a little like, wait, what? How is that? How can you do that? You know, it's not crazy. We're not giving away thousands of dollars on these contests, but there's actual prizes. There's literal incentive that's there for people. But there's also that learning component. There's the joy of winning. There's being able to see how you did each day. The reminders that are baked in. Push notifications, but not becoming annoying with people. Just making that experience good so that they actually enjoy that there's some value there. That's what you need to do in order to really earn the client. Not just the first time, but for them to continue to come back and want to be part of that brand.
Just to reset the room for the meeting, 20, 25 minutes. Everybody, please make sure you follow Jay here on X. And of course, check out Market Draft if you're curious. If you want to come up and ask questions, feel free to click that bottom left microquest button. And as always, this will be in podcast under Lead Lag Live. I think it's interesting that you're using the company handle, but I see obviously you commenting on other people's posts, you know, when it comes to markets, which means you obviously have a real interest in it beyond just the coding and CTO side of things. Talk about your own passions and how you think about investing, separate from the educational side of marketing?
Yeah. So pilot, that's a thing, right? So I love flying, love fishing, love fantasy sports. I used to go back to the three Fs, you know, things that I enjoy to do. There's others there too. But generally speaking though, you know, like passionate in terms of the market and stuff, just seeing the opportunity that's there contextually, this was what really surprised me. So, you know, I started off as a passive trader in the 20 teens. I'm nowhere near your level as professional in terms of understanding the market dynamics and what's really going on. I do not consider myself a professional trader. I consider myself an active and aware trader. I don't take a bullish or a bearish position where I feel like I have to remain in either camp. So it's really rooted in pragmatism and just trying to look at the big picture, what's going on, and being a bit of a contrarian and feeling comfortable about that. You know, looking at a chart and zooming out, you know, past performance doesn't always guarantee future results, but are we looking at a big pullback? Has there been a cycle that's continued to happen with a certain stock? So for me personally, I break up my investing into a few different pools, one a bit more longer term companies that I really, truly believe in. Over the long haul, I'm not worried about what happens in the short term with selling. You know, wake me up in 10, 15, 20 years and let's see how things are doing. I'm excited then. And then there's a portion of my portfolio that's shorter term, companies I still think can do well, but I don't mind at all taking profit and potentially flipping those trades to have some short-term additional income or use that to increase my portfolio positions in companies that I want more for the long term. Looking at the bigger picture of the market in general, though, I saw a lot of overlap with fantasy sports, right? So people, and this is kind of the ties the story together too a bit with DreamCo and building this company over the course of, you know, 15 years and me owning it, and then Market Draft contacting DreamCo in order to have the platform built. And the founder of Market Draft and I hitting it off very well and really taking the idea and bringing it to life led to an acquisition of DreamCo. And I hadn't looked back, and it's such a passion project. But the experience with fantasy and just seeing what fantasy sports has done with bringing people together, giving people interesting data insights because of the way it's presented that they wouldn't have cared about otherwise. Like, most people don't care about an out-of-market team and what some receiver's doing and how many yards they got. Like, that's like whatever type content doesn't mean anything to them. But add in fantasy sports and give it some reason and give them skin in the game, and there's value there. You know, you have people that weren't sports fans before, let alone caring about this out-of-market team and that receiver, that really care now. In general, fantasy has exploded, right? Like 57 million plus people in North America play. The cycle of fantasy has changed so much over the last 6-7 years here, with it going from an unregulated environment to a regulated environment, FanDuel and DraftKings, and a bunch of work, you know, that's happened in the space there. But the same can be said about stocks. I looked at the stock market and saw an overwhelming amount of content that's already there from expert traders, the Swiggle Bros, these charts. Everyone's an expert. Everyone knows what's going on. Screenshot your portfolio when it's doing well. Never talk about what's going wrong. And there's a lot of older, stodgier content that just doesn't really speak to the 21-year-old that has a short attention span, that just saw some post about, you know, some new coin that's getting shilled, and he has, you know, $50 he wants to put into the market maybe. And the lack of content that can be genuinely educational and still like thoughtful, but still fun and unfiltered at the same time, and just kind of take it for what it's worth as a generality, seemed to me that it was lacking. You know, and that paired with gaming and gamification and people learning through gaming and seeing how that has changed both with fantasy sports and other areas too, by gamifying education, I saw an opportunity. Obviously, the founder of Market Draft did as well, and that's where the two minds have kind of come together, pairing my heavy experience in the fantasy industry with what we're trying to do with the financial world here with Market Draft.
And presumably you've got to reach some sort of critical mass in terms of number of users to really get, you know, really nuanced contests, right? Like with DraftKings, you can bet on something happening in the next inning in a baseball game based on, you know, somebody striking out twice for the third time getting a home run, right? You can get like really specific with DraftKings, the last I had checked the scene. But that they have millions of users, right, obviously. So I've got to assume that's sort of part of the longer term excitement, right? As you grow you can really start to get even more specific on what people are from a contest
perspective. That's right. So and absolutely right. So, you know, we have thousands of tens of thousands of members on the platform now. We bootstrapped everything and haven't done too much on really trying to push to get the word out heavily yet. We're really excited about it going into next year, though. The nuance and getting in some of those in-game sports betting examples that you're making with the market, it's basically like the options trading world, right? So right now, MarketTrap, its core gameplay is what we call a swing trader. You could pick, and we'll talk about a contest here that everybody will have an opportunity to join. I'll give that password away in a few. Do you literally get free fudge, which I think is amazing. It just goes to the thesis of it, trying to have fun with this at the same time of being rewarding. Getting Michael Gaid fudge from the Lead Lag Report, as well as cash, is a pretty sweet prize just for making a few picks. But short-term picking, right? So we have a contest published in the lobby now. It's going to start day after Christmas. It'll end before the new year. So you'll have time to go in and just pick your stocks. And then the prices will all change themselves. You can edit your lineup whenever you want. But come opening time on Tuesday morning, all those picks are locked in. And now it's just going to go until the contest is over, and that's it. There's no selling while you have those assets. There's no buying additional ones or anything like that. That's just our swing trader contest. How it started, how it ended, how the results were. We calculate, show everything. You can track it in real time if you want to, or just check back in to see how the results were once it finished. We also have a streak contest where every day you can be reminded to go in, pick one stock from the whole market you think is going to go up. Pick one that will go down. See how far you can get on a streak. We actually have a prize that is $1 million if you could do it. I don't think anybody, including you, Michael, would even be able to do that. But you never know. We have plenty of other prizes on the leaderboard, too, if you're ever able to do something that crazy. And you don't even have to pick every day. If you wanted to skip a few days or if you missed, your streak doesn't break. But it's a fun way to just kind of just jump in. All right, I'm really bearish on Apple today or whatever. Boom, you could just put that in. But I like NVIDIA, so I'm bullish on that, which is not my personal sentiment, just using it as an example. And we are going to be releasing at the beginning of next year a race gameplay, which is a race to a portfolio title. And then that'll be the first time that our platform is introducing selling. So during the day, if someone wanted to go in and saw that, wow, NVIDIA is way up today, they'd be able to sell that cash out and then roll those funds into buying additional stocks, just like the real market, or keep it in liquid, just like the real market, until somebody reaches a portfolio total. So it might have been, take your $10,000 fantasy budget and turn it into 20. The first person to do that and double the portfolio wins. And as soon as that threshold is met, all of the rankings lock first through however many places in that contest.
And again, folks, to be clear, I'm not getting paid to do this. I just thought it was kind of funny. And candidly, I like the idea of having something that's educational and consistent with all your fudge side of things. You're going to have to let me know, Jay, if everybody just to spite me chooses NVIDIA. I think that's probably going to be what this ends up playing out like. So I am also interested in this part of the discussion. You're on the tech side, obviously. You've got your own investments. Are you yourself trading and investing tech because that's what you know? Because there is this concentration aspect, right? Where if you're in an industry and you're trading the stocks of the industry, you're actually even less diversified than.
Yeah, that's a great point. So let's just say I did very well with DraftKings when it was a SPAC. And then, and I guess looking back with SPACs, that's one of the few that's done that as the case. So playing off of the fantasy end and understanding what's going on with fantasy and sports betting apps, I certainly leveraged just the, I'm not going to call it insider information. It wasn't anything that the public couldn't have been made aware of, but just being privy to what was really going on. But no, like personally, my positions are quite diverse. I like a lot of Russell 2000 stuff. There's some brands that I do like longer term. I think CRISPR and what's happening with their recent approval at the FDA and in the UK with sickle cell, plus all of the other things that they have lined up behind it might make a great longer term. Palantir, as often as it gets trolled for what it's doing in the AI space with military, there's a handful of brands, right? And I'm not giving out financial advice, and I'm far less qualified than you are with doing that, but their portfolio is mixed. I do have some stuff on the technology end as it relates to like cloud computing and whatnot. There's quite a few brands that are out there for it. Cybersecurity is just completely bullish in the long run. You can do your shopping around for companies and where you think there might be the most value. But generally speaking, it just continues to grow. It's wider and taller at the same time type of an industry. So there's still room there as well.
I forgot to assume on the market drive side, there's maybe some attrition, right? Meaning, once somebody's is had fun with it and learns and, you know, maybe wins a couple of bucks here and there from these contests. They want to go and do it in real life, right? And then maybe just kind of abandon the app. Is that something that is maybe not right now a problem, but is that something that you think there's a way around? I mean, it seems like kind of once you, that's the thing with like education material, right? That's gamified. At some point, people feel like they know what they need to know.
And yeah, so we're certainly prepared for that. And we do a pretty good job at polling our members and really getting feedback from them too. And a large swath of our members are traders. They are doing well. They do stuff on their own. They day trade and they come out on a market draft too, because why not? They could lose thousands of dollars in the real market and still win $100 or something on market draft and then be like, oh, I told you so. That stock was going down and I knew it. I'm better than you are. So that still happens. So we haven't seen that. But we also know that we have to make sure that there are tools and incentive there for people to want to continue to come back, not just to win a little bit of money on the side or to have bragging rights or to potentially gain a following by doing well with their picks regularly. So we're incorporating different market tools that can definitely be applied in the real market as well. Things that you may already see on some apps like StockTwits and such, with being able to have saved watch lists that you'll be able to keep track of or to be able to alert yourself on a certain thing that's taking place. So we're definitely adding utility to it over time. We have a really exciting tech track for things that are coming up for this coming year with gameplay. And then as we continue to advance, we also want to make sure that we have that ability to send people in the right direction too, because we know that our audience is seeming where it's really that Gen Z or millennial newer retail trader that's getting involved, even though it is not exclusively that's the majority share. We want to make sure that we give them, I don't want to say off-ramp being the best word, but when you are going to start putting your money into the market in real life, or if you're looking for other tips and other directions that you can go with certain things, making sure that we can give people those opportunities as well, whether that's through affiliate relationships and whatnot. That's definitely something that we've contemplated and have been contacted through, you know, outside entities on, different organizations, other groups and such, saying, you know, hey, send people our way, you know, referral links and whatnot. But we want to be much more thoughtful about it than just having a link. And we want people to understand, like, hey, we think these are the best sources for this type of material. There's so many different ways to be a trader. And it's no one size fits all, right? There's a very different scenario if you're a millionaire that's 62 versus a 21-year-old that has a $30,000 salary and is just finishing up school or something, right? So different strokes for different folks. And we're going to be looking at organizing that to make sure people have outlets for this type of content as well.
What happens when you scale? Meaning, you know, is it a function of you need to then hire a whole bunch of new people, you know, on the customer service side or on the tech side? You know, I'm thinking in terms of what Elon Musk did, right? He came in and basically just, you know, cut the staff tremendously, even though the size was the size. Talk about scalability just from a business perspective when you have a successful app.
Yeah. So having a good CTO certainly should help with cost control, with scaling, right? Like, what can technology accomplish that can limit the amount of man hours that may be needed on something just because technology can help solve that problem? You know, so that certainly can be the case, right? You can automate a lot of things, but it is costly when you first set out to do that because coding isn't necessarily cheap. Custom coding is not cheap to get done. But having thought process like that in place, making sure that you're building something in a way that can be expanded upon, like hosting wise, right? There's vertical scaling of a server, just dumping more gasoline, more fuel for the fire kind of thing, right? And then there's like horizontal scaling, you're getting into cloud where you can have your infrastructure set up with elasticity. So controlling what your hosting costs are, controlling what your individual costs are just by leveraging tech. As far as market draft is concerned, you know, I'm bullish on the case of it not being something that would become overly expensive. You know, in terms of our company, technology can drive a lot of this. And there's so much overlap with the fantasy sports industry with what's happened there. So I expect it to be similar to that.
So Jay, as we start to wrap up here, talk through how people can find more of what you're doing as an individual. I know you got a number of great blog posts as well. But for those that want to learn more about market draft, aside from going from the App Store, what other suggestions can you give them as far as getting involved, learning, and for those that actually want to try to maybe even talk to you about, you know, how you can expand and how.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate that. So for Market Draft, simple, marketdraft.com, or you can download the Market Draft app, iOS, Android, your pick. We have for this spaces a contest that's been set up, the Ho 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 You're Fudged Santa Rally Stock Market Contest. The password for it, you guessed it, it's fudge. So you'll see it in the lobby. If you sign up, it'll take you a minute or two to register for the platform. It's completely free. Once you're signed up, you'll be brought to the lobby with all the contests in it. If you're familiar with fantasy sports, very similar interface, not reinventing things there. Just hit join on the contest, put fudge in, and you'll be put fudge in, rather, F-U-D-G-E. And you'll be able to get into the contest, make your picks, set it, forget it, and go from there. You can also follow MarketDraft on X. We're hitting X hard. We're on all the other different socials too. You can just look up MarketDraft to find it. This is really what I've gotten behind, what I'm all about. You know, for me personally and everything, you know, I'm not as concerned about that as I am with making sure I do everything I can to keep help this brand that I'm passionate about. So if you want to follow me and see some of the stuff that's happening on social, follow MarketDraft.
And for those that do participate and actually do win the fudge, enjoy it because I'm still fat and I can't have it. So with all that said, appreciate everybody that's joined here. I'm going to try to do, I think, a couple of spaces next week, but obviously with holidays, it's going to be a slower schedule than usual. So I appreciate everybody that's been supportive of these spaces efforts. Please make sure you follow Jay and the X handle here for MarketDraft and check out MarketDraft. Again, I thought this would be a fun conversation given Jay's creativity and what he's trying to do as CTO of MarketDraft. And hopefully I will see you all later. Enjoy the holidays, folks. Cheers, everybody.
The content in this program is for informational purposes only. You should not construe any information or other material as investment, financial, tax, or other advice. The views expressed by the participants are solely their own. A participant may have taken or recommended any investment position discussed, but may close such position or alter its recommendation at any time without notice. Nothing contained in this program constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, endorsement, or offer to buy or sell any securities or other financial instruments in any jurisdiction. Please consult your own investment or financial advisor for advice related to all investment decisions. Don't forget to follow at LeadLag Report on X, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube, and check out the LeadLag Report at www.leadlagreport.com. Use promo code PODCAST30 for 2 weeks free and 30% off to get access to award-winning research and anticipate stock market crashes, corrections, and bear markets.